Hello and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's podcast.
Woohoo! It's been a while.
It has been quite a while. It's our 25th annual? No. it's our 30th weekly, but first re-annual? I'm not sure. How do you classify your first in a long time?
I don't know.
Season 3, what am I calling it? Are we in about season 3?
I think you're like in the 11th year somehow.
That's true. We did start doing this quite some time ago.
2006 or 7, maybe 7.
Well, your hosts, one of us, I am Garth Nelson.
And I'm Jen Barr.
If you're new to the podcast, we are both professional Mahjong players in Japan, working with the Japanese Professional Mahjong League, or in Japanese, Nihon Pro Mahjong Nenmei. How long have we been? It's been about 11 years, huh?
Yeah, this is our 12th.
This is our 12th year?
Yeah, we joined in 2006.
2006.
We started working with them in 2005.
Well, it has been a long history of, fairly mediocre performance for me, anyway.
No, you've made final tables and everything.
I have, but it doesn't really seem to mean that much.
I made one.
Which final table were you?
One of the North Kanto ones.
Oh, yeah. You made a final table in one of the TV tournaments.
Yeah.
Too, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
What was it? That was
Sparta Cup.
Sparta Cup, yes. Mm-hmm. Are they still doing Sparta Cup? Have you?
I don't know. I don't get invited.
Yeah, kidding, guys. I actually, after quite some time of not participating in Sparta, made a sort of like all... throughout the interest balloon, like, oh, hey, anybody interested in me going to Sparta? Got a big bag of silence. I think I need to work on my politics game before I start trying to make inroads into.
Yeah, it sounds like it's not quite as populated as it used to be.
Oh, really?
Yeah, at least the people from our generation. Maybe there's younger gens going, but not us.
I'd totally forgotten when it happened, and I happened to be there on a Thursday night. Oh, the last time I... Oh, wow, it's going to happen again this very Thursday. Because last time I was there as a sort of dojo guest player, it was on a Thursday, and so I was wondering, like, what are they all doing over in the back of the dojo? And then somebody was finally like, oh, it's Sparta. It's that thing that I used to get invited to. yes, well, the big thing that happened recently was...
Oh, wait, let's talk about the dojo for a second.
Oh, the dojo, yeah.
Yeah, the JPML dojo.
JPML dojo, if you happen to be in Japan, it is a great place to go and practice your Mahjong. It's a no-rate parlor because they are trying to be all legal and that sort of thing.
They're not trying, they're legal.
Oh, yeah. They are fully successful at being legal.
Yes. So it's like, I think you can, on some days you can pay just a set fee and play as many games as you want. Usually they run about 6 games a night.
Right.
So they start on the hour. And it's JPML A rules, usually.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I'm not sure. I think they actually changed the rules. So you just check the rules for the day.
Right. I think they do go back and forth, because the time that I was there...
Or maybe it's WRC rules the main one. Yeah.
The time that I was there, I think it was WRC rules.
So you can practice your WRC rules. Usually there's at least one pro there. Usually there's at least 3 pros there, I think. There's always a guest pro, and then there's a couple that work there full time.
Right. So I will be a guest pro there on this next Thursday. If you happen to be in Japan.
Today? The podcast's not going out today, so...
Okay.
But the schedule is actually in pictures. There's a picture of each pro. I was a guest back in August. For some reason, they haven't called me back.
Well, but so I think I was a guest. When did the dojo open? Was that in
August, September?
Oh, okay.
I think you were there in September.
Oh, okay. Huh. Maybe you didn't do badly enough, because I think I lost every single game.
No, I lost a lot.
Are you sure you did as badly as me?
Usually I do just a little bit worse than you. That's my general
record.
You're
doing just a little bit better than I am in League.
It's not over yet.
That's true.
We still have two more sessions.
We could both crap out pretty hugely in the next two sessions.
Bigly. We could crash out bigly.
Bigly. Bigly in our small league.
Anyway, so, yeah, if you're unsure about it, you can just get in contact with us.
Yes, we can introduce you to the dojo. It is a great place to practice your mahjong and not worry about any extra charges, and you will get some good games in because there will be strong players there.
Yep, it's in Sugamo in Tokyo.
And I have found a good place to drink. There's a little darts place around the corner.
So call up Garth and he'll take you out for a drink after.
Yes. We may or may not have to play darts.
There's also a tenya downstairs you can get.
Oh, yes.
Tendon.
Yeah, otherwise, Sugamo is a pretty... Oh, well, at least... All right, the area where the dojo is, that side of the station, is pretty not active.
It's a little bit old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Like you can like you just walk a couple hundred feet and there's a huge like shrine temple. It's kind of it's kind of old Tokyo, which is cool if you're visiting Tokyo.
Yeah. Could be a fun little time out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the dojo. That's our new place to have sort of events and practice mahjong. It's a little bit bigger. It's quite a bit bigger, actually, than the old dojo, right? The old dojo...
Yeah, it's much bigger, and we don't have to share it with anyone.
Right.
The old dojo, there was a grumpy old guy that got mad at everybody for everything.
Right. I think the old dojo had maybe 13 or 14 tables, but there were... You know, for Renmei, there was usually sort of, okay, I guess you can have these five or six.
Yeah.
Whereas now, in the new dojo, we have, you know, there's 16 tables in there, and... Which is still too small, actually, for the bottom couple leagues.
Yeah, we still get to go to Shinbashi, which I prefer because there's free parking on Sundays.
Oh. Yeah, Shinbashi is a funny place, right? Like, it's just absolutely packed during the week with salary, you know, businessmen, whatever. And then on the weekends, it's absolutely just deserted.
Yeah. And it has the most, what's the Ayashi?
Suspicious.
Suspicious, shady. Let's go shady.
Oh, shady.
Has the most, per capita of shady massage parlors anywhere in Tokyo, I'm pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah.
That's kind of funny. Well, I mean, you know, they just have such a huge market of absolutely trashed businessmen.
Yeah, and also, DVD rooms.
Oh.
Sugama doesn't have all of that.
Oh man, that is such a funny, just funny the way that those kinds of businesses pop up in certain areas. God, I never noticed that kind of stuff either. I mean, you do notice a couple girls line, but I guess all right. Most of the time that I'm there,
those shady massage parlors, the girls aren't really out, but you can tell by the signs which ones are shady, really.
Never noticed these things. the place I notice is just because it's near the game center where I always play in Shinjuku. It's the Seku Korabu, and it's like a sexual harassment. It's a club where you can go in and sexually harass the girls. I mean, that's their theme.
Yeah, actually, until you learn the lingo, you can even walk around Kabukicho and not have any idea what any of the places are.
Yeah.
If you don't know the specific red light district lingo, then you'll just assume most of the stuff is hostess clubs. So we took a walk around there, yes. I was taking a couple of out-of-towners around, and they had a very educational experience.
Yes. But back to Mahjong. So,
this is about...
We've covered it's the two worlds do collide sometimes, don't they? But not colliding with that world, the other big event in Mahjong, besides our dojo opening over the summer, was the World Reach Championship.
Yes.
In Vegas. Fabulous Las Vegas. which...
Was it fabulous for you?
The poker was fabulous.
I don't know why I went to Venetian. I was like, I'm going to Aria. I went to Aria once, and there was... One of my friends happened to be at my table, just randomly. I just showed up at Aria and sit down, and someone across the table was like, Jen! damn it. So then I was like, well, I don't want to keep playing here. So we went and got coffee. And then the next couple times, for some reason, I went to Venetian, and that was just stupid.
Why was that stupid?
Because you got the only good table, like, ever at Venetian.
Really? Yeah, that table was really
It is
really
a nitty,
incredible.
Nitty, nitty poker room.
Because it's true. Like, the first hour or two, I was just sitting there posting and folding blinds. Like, yeah. I really didn't get to play at
all. That's generally how it is at Venetian.
Yeah, that's annoying. And then I got whittled down to... I made a great play to fold aces when somebody had hit trips on the turn. And then, you know, I whittled myself down to about $60, throw that in with jacks, and ace king calls me, and I double up, woo! And then right after that, I doubled up again, and then next thing you know, I'm winning $1,000. And I go, wow.
Yeah. So the next night, I went again. I went with 2V.
And the Venetian.
Yeah. And I think I got aces 3 times. Uh-huh. Not a single color preflop. I'm not raising crazy amounts either. I'm just Everyone was like, lock my wallet up. Nobody is getting my chips.
Yeah, that was a really amazing table, right? Like, you actually came over to the table after a little while, right?
Yeah, but you were taking all the money. There's nothing for me to do. Anyway, Mahjong.
The one thing I did want to say about that table that was amazing was that as ridiculously as I talked about everything from just being, you know, I was an idiot. The first funny thing that happened was the dude asking me, like, as you were walking by, I was like, oh, you know her? And I was like, yeah, I do, but that's not my wife. And immediately they're like, oh, huh, this guy seems a little, we might get some weird, interesting conversation out of this guy.
So I was actually at a table one away from you, and you were really, really audible. So I was talking to the guy next to me, who is like a young kind of... He's a diver, apparently. Uh-huh. He's like a surfer dude, kind of. I was like, isn't that guy in the white shirt really loud? It's like, yeah, God.
It is so funny, because seriously, for the first at least hour or two that I was there, I was absolutely silent. And I was just like downing one beer after another. And then that dude asked me as you were walking by, and I said, hey, what's going on? And then he's like, oh, you know her? Yeah, it's not my wife. Like, oh, huh, that's not really the question I asked, but all right, we can deal with that if you want to. And then from there, you know, went to like trying to do shots with this other guy that kept using bad language, and they kept giving him warnings. And so then they were like, you know, we're gonna have to throw you off the table if you have to warn you anymore. And I was like, oh my God, can I take some of his warnings then? Because I don't have any warnings yet. So can you like?
They took him off the table because he was drinking too much.
Right, and I remember you saying that. Although I did not pick up on that at all. I was
You weren't really
picking up on anything except everybody's money.
You weren't quite coherent enough to understand the real reason.
Anything was happening. Yes, but somehow that did work out as a pretty nice poker session for me. At the Venetian,
I think probably you were winning too much off of him, and he didn't stop drinking, so they were worried that he wouldn't have enough money for a taxi to the airport.
Well, he was in that hotel, wasn't he?
Well, he has to get to the airport eventually.
Oh, I see.
Apparently in Vegas, if you don't have enough money for a cab to the airport, it happens quite often. And people beg the taxi drivers to take them to the airport. And they ask for address, you know, a card address, so that they can send the funds. Apparently, they always send the funds. Nobody skips out on that. People are pretty good in general, apparently.
Vegas. Peoples. Well, yeah, so speaking of Vegas, we had this whole tournament, Mahjong tournament.
Yeah, which was, so everybody knows, but when we got there, the day before most of you arrived, the day that I arrived, was the huge mass shooting.
Yeah, huger, that was the new record, right?
Yeah,
I guess it is still managing to be the current record. I don't want to get probably too into politics there, but isn't that a weird... the unsolvable problem in America.
So, yeah, so I actually I ended up interviewing Tomotake, the winner, after
Oh, that's right. You got to do the interview.
Yeah, so I asked him about that, if he was, if it had worried him or anything. Uh-huh. Apparently not.
No. No thoughts on it at all?
No, I think a lot of people were worried about getting in just because it was the very beginning of the week that everyone was arriving. But it seems like most people weren't too worried about the incident.
Yeah, I know, it's interesting how a lot of people's image of America ends up, you know, being this or that, and then in the end, they don't really seem to. It doesn't seem to concern them anyway. Because, like, I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, obviously, I can imagine. I can't believe how many people in Japan, at least, like, certainly when I first came here, they always said, "Oh, how could you live in America? That place is dangerous." And I always thought, like, you guys are ridiculous. It's not that dangerous. And now that I live in Japan, I'm like, oh my God, those people are so right. It is dangerous. Like, I don't. Why would I would feel so dumb if I went to live there with my family and anything ever happened to my family, and then I'd just be like, oh yeah, what was I thinking living in America? I could have just lived in Japan, where definitely nothing will happen to my family. Definitely, we're not going to get shot. There is an actually 0% chance that we will be shot today. Yeah. It's actually zero. Like, we could say right now, without knowing for sure, that there will be zero people shot in Japan today.
The record for a year in recent history is 6 deaths by gun.
In, like, the last 10 years?
In
1 year, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think sometime, it may be 10 years ago now, because the last time I remember reading about this was probably about 3 years ago, and sometime in the last 10 years at that point, I think there had been 16 shooting deaths in Japan, and it was, you know, a national scandal in the entire year, 16 deaths. So yes, in this country of 120 million people today, 0 of them will be shot. We can say that every day, and we can just...
Might be wrong up to 6 days.
Yeah. Probably this year we will be wrong 1 or 2 days.
And likely that's going to be something, you know, gangster related. It's not private citizens.
So yes, that's another reason to have Mahjong tournaments in Japan instead of America. 0% chance of being shot. Not that it's really that laughable that accident, or that, not accident.
Except for that the tournament was wonderful.
The tournament was awesome. Way to go, Dave and Gemma, for all of the work and planning they did to put together a really fun and well-run tournament, as it turns out. Took a lot of work, I'm sure, and they managed to make it happen.
Yeah, it took a lot of work. There were so many times I'm like, Gemma, we gotta work on the company, and she's like, just a minute, WRC.
Yeah. In case you guys don't know their full names, that's Dave Resnick and Gemma Sakamoto. Oh, I was about to say the wrong name there. She is now a Sakamoto.
Yes.
They were the tournament organizers and put it all together.
Yeah, it went really well.
Thanks to you guys, in case we haven't said that enough. I'm sure we haven't. And, like you, I have alluded to already, the big winner was a Japanese Pro Mahjong League guy named Tomotake.
I think Japanese. What's Japan, that? Japan Pro Mahjong
League. Why did I say Japanese? Japan Pro Mahjong League, Professional Mahjong League. He's still an A-League player, but I think he has dropped down to A2 in recent history.
Yeah, I think he's not really... He doesn't do anything extra in JPML.
Oh, yeah.
So he plays in league. Plays in the... We have 4 major tournaments. He plays in those 4 major tournaments, and that's about it.
Yeah, he doesn't really seem to do a lot of work.
He doesn't do WRC League. Uh-huh. He doesn't do... He was doing North Kanto for a short time.
I remember
time.
That. Yeah.
But he actually is mainly a Mahjong instructor.
Yes.
He teaches a lot of classes.
Oh, really? A lot of classes.
Yeah.
He happens to do it in Meguro, as far as I know.
Yeah, I think he has one in Meguro, but most of them are like Saitama and Chiba.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's usually traveling just outside of Tokyo.
Oh, huh.
Which I learned in the interview as well.
How long has he been doing that?
I don't know. That would have been a good question.
Is that sort of what they call Kenko Mahjong or healthy Mahjong?
Yeah, I imagine a lot of it is, you know, actually a lot of cities have cultural centers with mahjong tables,
yes,
like automatic
yes.
mahjong
That's
tables.
That's at least what they're doing at in Meguro.
Mm-hmm. So, I think a lot of elderly citizens, senior citizens are, you know, they so mahjong is good to keep the mind sharp.
Right.
The same.
Keep you active, mind and body wise.
Yeah, so I think that's the majority of the... There's actually one at Lalaport in Tachikawa near me, and one of the JPML pros teaches there, but I haven't dropped by yet.
Not yet. Yeah, it was an exciting final. It was... So, in the final was Tomotake and Masuda, who has his own mahjong parlor in Ikebukuro, and Yamada Hiro, who also has, who also works a lot at the dojo, and then a player from, was it Kyokai?
As Mew.
Mew. Okay.
No.
Sorry, you're right.
101. Sorry. 101.
101.
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure it wasn't Mew? I think
could
it might
maybe
have been,
as Mew.
I think it might have been Mew.
Mahjong Union.
Union. Yes.
Rengo.
Mew or Mu. and she actually jumped out to a very nice lead in the first game. But Tomotake took over in the last game.
Yeah, she started out by just like remaining dealer forever, basically.
Yeah. we didn't actually get to comment on the first game, but we did actually add commentary to the second game, and there was some pretty great excitement in the towards the end of the second game too. Masuda, in order to win, had to win a gigantic hand on the second to last hand. And reached with... He was waiting for the 3-6 of cracks, I think. And he needed... The 6 was the Dora, and the 6 gave him Sanchoku.
Yeah.
So I think he could have also improved his position by winning off a specific player, but the wrong player threw a 3 early on after he reached. And he let that go.
And there was only 1-6 left.
Yeah, so by the time he actually, you know, it's coming down to the end of the hand, we could see, I think, all of the 3s and 3 of the 6s out on the table. They were either discards or in somebody's hand. And so it's, you know, that's the very last tile that he could draw, and he drew it, like, you know, with 1 or 2 draws to go. So he got, like, Reach, Tanyao, Sanchoku, Dora, and then I think another Dora for a Hanemon hand to actually get himself back in the running for possibly taking first place for the tournament. It was a huge, exciting hand.
Yeah.
Like, it's the kind of thing that, like, you know, you live for in the final game. It was a great play by Masuda and a great effort to get himself back in the running, but I forget exactly what happened on the last hand. I think
the last hand Tomotake just got a really quick, easy hand.
It was sort of anticlimactic in the end, having had such a fantastic lead up into the final hand. it was a great play by Masuda. You know, I mean, it's hard to pass up a winner like that. You don't know, like, oh, maybe I'll get some Ura Dora and it'll somehow be Hanemon anyway. God, you know, I feel like I'm missing something. There may have been another extra couple Dora. Like, it, I feel like it may have been Baimon. It was an enormous hand. Yeah, it was Baimon, right?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So he did win an amazing hand, and it was a great play by him. But, Tomotake did make other great plays before that to have been in a position to just sort of win it without making anything too spectacular in the final play. And so congratulations to Tomotake on winning the second World Reach Championship in this time in Las Vegas.
Yes, congratulations to him. I was just going to look up the report from JPML, which you can look at and see pictures of us and Gemma.
Oh.
There's a picture of each of the JPML pros that played.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, speaking of things that you can see, discussing the World Series, the World Reach Mahjong, the World Reach Championship. There is a documentary of the World Reach Championship, which I think right now is still it's still in the editing stages. But
yeah.
If you want to see part of it, they have a trailer up on their website, which is what is it? Masters. So the whole thing is called Masters of Mahjong.
Yeah, I got the website here.
There's a website that has their trailer on it, and some pictures of footage they've taken from here and there. And they're also planning on making a whole feature-length film of the whole event. You know, they're following a couple players from, there's one from America and one from England, who were sort of, you know, underdogs and like, oh, let's see if we can take on the pros and win. I think they performed pretty well, although, you know, it shouldn't come as that big a surprise that pros who have been playing for, you know, the last 20, 30 years, that the finals was dominated mostly by players like that. There was one player from Germany, I think, who made it to the semifinals.
Lena,
right? So yes, congratulations to the non-Japanese player who made it to the semifinals.
So the website for the documentary, it's called Masters of Mahjong, and the website is mahjongmovie.com.
Mahjong,
Mahjong
okay.
is spelled M-A-H-J-O-N-G. There's no spaces or anything, just movie, mahjongmovie.com. And there's a Facebook page, so definitely follow the Facebook page.
Yes, Facebook page. I'm trying to grow interest, because it should be a pretty interesting story, I think. And, you know, we would like to get more people playing.
Yeah, and get more followers on there, because Mahjong. Now that Gemma isn't busy with the WRC, she's busy with that documentary, and I need her to work, so... Get in there and follow so she can feel accomplished and come help me with my with our company. We have a lot of other Mahjong projects going on, so yeah, everybody get in there.
Yeah, Gemma's coming to Japan next week. Next week?
I don't know.
there was talk of it, I thought, and then it
She's
hasn't.
She's coming eventually. She should live here.
It hasn't been solid.
I'm going to say it right now. I want Gemma to live here.
Yes, that would make everybody here happy anyway. Not sure how happy it would make anybody over there, but in our little tiny world of self-interest, yes, we would rather have Gemma living here.
I am a big world of Gemma's self-interest.
Yes. So I think we may have rambled on enough for one discussion.
Yeah, I was just trying to double-check the report, but I don't know. You might be able to see yourself in the pictures, too, that are on the JPML WRC report.
Yes, if you were at the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
How did you do, just to recap a little bit, like, our performance, how did your tournament go?
I don't even remember what place I was in. I was doing okay the first day.
Yeah, I had exactly that experience.
And
too. Then,
yeah, you know, when you start to get negative, you start to go for bigger hands right. And try and recover. So then you just get more negative right. Or you recover. So, I mean, if you're not in the top 32, I think the placing is pretty moot.
Meaningless, yeah. Yeah, I had very similar experience. I was, I think I was around 34th or 35th place. After the first day, so I'm in good shape, yeah, woohoo! And then in the second day, like first hand of the first game, I threw Oyamon to somebody in like the sixth drawing round. Like, oh, well, that's not a very good start. So I took fourth in that game, and then in the first round of the next game, I threw Su Uncle. to a player in the sixth drawing round, like
wow.
It's just like, oh, come on. And then I mean, you know, all right, way to go him, nice hand, except God, it's frustrating when people are, and he's like, oh my God, I never won this hand before. He's like just laughing in my face. I'm like, oh, I'm really, really happy for
see
you.
I like that bit of emotion better than the
Yeah.
What
it's
we,
true.
When you're in the pro circuit, what you usually get is, I won.
Yeah.
Next hand.
Yeah. It's, but I can understand in that moment how, you know, when it's definitely at somebody else's expense, and you know, this is as a professional player, this should come as, you know, second nature to me to be congratulatory to somebody who has just won a great hand. But it is really frustrating when you're playing for something that actually really, really matters to you. In that moment, you're just like, oh no, no, death. I want death.
But I think that's what I've said this a lot. I think that's where the air quotes manners comes from, is from the people who are just like bitter about that kind of thing. So you're not allowed to be happy when you win a Yakumon because I threw that Yakumon, right, and
it comes at somebody's expense.
I think that's just a little bit too.
Yeah, well, it's one of those things that it's just a question of manners, and
I don't know. I think that somebody just arbitrarily decided that's the manners. And
well, all right, but I mean, the whole idea of manners and being polite is that you're taking into consideration other people's feelings.
Yeah, and but so I think the person who created that manners is not polite.
So I'm not saying that that manners are decided. I'm saying the basic idea of manners is that you're considering other people's feelings. And
so you should be considering the feelings of the person who's happy for winning a hand.
Okay, yes. But him throwing that back in the other person's face is definitely not showing consideration for the person who just lost.
I think the person who lost, who takes that as that's being thrown in my face, is just overly sensitive. I think that person is quite immature.
Okay, the person definitely just lost something. I mean, so do you think that about anybody who's lost something?
What, like death?
Yeah. It's a little...
I think that comparing that to death is overly dramatic.
All right, how about losing a little money in the stock market? Or you're losing a shit ton of money in the stock market? Or, you know, a lot of money in the stock market. It's a loss. The person feels something, and then to have it thrown in your face, you're definitely not showing...
Who's in the... So the stock market is laughing in your face, then? The stock market has no manners?
But I mean, if you were to laugh in the face of somebody who just lost a lot of money in the stock market, would that...
If they're laughing
for that person's feelings?
If they're laughing in your face, like saying, ha, you're dumb, you lost all that money, that's very different than saying, oh my god, I won a hand, I'm excited. That's very different.
Yes.
And that person was not laughing at you for throwing it. They were laughing because they were excited about winning it.
He specifically laughed at me.
Okay, well then that's rude, but showing some excitement about winning a hand, I think, is not rude. And I don't think it's throwing it in the face of the other person.
It's not... Well, I'm not saying it's rude. I'm just saying that if the idea of having manners is basically to show consideration for other people's feelings, then, yes, you know, I mean, I can show consideration for his feelings that, you know, he's excited about having won a hand. But, you know, when you jump up all and down when somebody else definitely lost, that's kind of throwing their loss in their face.
I disagree. When I was playing in North Kanto and I won 2 ren, I won it off of somebody. And that person was like, let's take a picture.
Yes, and that is huge. That is very huge of that
mean,
person.
No, I think that's normal.
No, that
that's
is...
That's normal. That's how people should act. It shouldn't be like, it's a game. Okay.
It is a game that matters, actually, to some people. You know, I mean, you know...
I feel like the rule, you're not allowed to show any emotion at the table.
But it's not a rule. It's
okay,
just
the manner rule. Yeah, you can get in huge trouble in JPML if you show that kind of emotion.
Oh,
at the
table. Well, that's because JPL has made manners rules.
Exactly. So this is what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the JPML rules.
Okay.
Or the manner rules. Okay. Because in Europe, obviously, in America, people are excited when they win a Yakumon, and that's accepted. That's fine. So I'm talking about JPML. So let's put that premise up.
Okay, cool.
Okay. So in JPML, I feel like it's made from the old grumpy guys who are mad that the younger people are winning, and they're bitter about it, so they just nitpick about every little thing.
Right, and so that's the whole idea of manners, is that you do it because you want to, you are actually showing consideration for other people's feelings.
Yes, and these old guys who made these manners are doing it because... Not because they're not being considered, it's because they are just mad that they're losing.
Right, and so at that point, that's not manners anymore. That's just making rules so that you can sort of guard, you know, because you're in a position of power, you make rules that you feel like so you can feel like your feelings won't be hurt.
You can feel like you're in charge. You're like, I need to find some way to win.
Yeah, and so that is...
That's going to disqualify you,
that
basically.
That is BS.
Yeah. Like Morohikake, the Morohikake Reach, that for a long time was a manner. If you're waiting for an 8, you do not discard a 5 and reach, and that's manners.
Right.
And that was made from grumpy people who are mad that they were weren't as good as the other people.
That they fell into a trap, and they lost the game.
Yeah,
that's the point I'm trying to make. If that's where we're drawing our distinction, then I'm on your side with that. Because manners, I think of manners as showing consideration for other people. It's not, we need some way for you to not be able to, make me feel bad about losing. Or we need, I need to be able to... Yeah, I don't even know how to put into words what the crap is that they're doing.
So, like I said, when if someone's pointing at you and laughing because you discarded their winner, that's rude. That's not even Mahjong manners. That's just manners, right?
That's not entirely what he did. But it's just that. Yeah, and I'm not saying that there was anything wrong with what he did. I'm just saying, I can understand how people who lose might feel like
you are a little bit oversensitive when you lose, though.
Oh yeah, I'm a terrible loser, and I'm not even really that great a winner either. So that's why I would never try to make a claim against someone doing that, because I know that when I win, I'm also just as insufferable.
That is true. Okay, we're a bit over time, but since it has been a long time since we had a podcast, perhaps
our first time in a while. So yes,
this is perfect.
Thanks for listening, you guys. Listening to our ramblings about how we made sort of half-assed it in Las Vegas, and the
Reach Mahjong.com Facebook page is there. So go ahead and join that and write in questions for the podcast. Anything. If we have questions, it's really easy to create content.
Oh yes.
So anything about
other stuff to ramble
anything.
About.
Yeah. Even if it's just about Japan and not Mahjong, that's fine, too.
We are interested in all questions.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe
and
talk
eventually,
about guns
I hope, I hope we'll get some guests on the show, too.
Oh, yes.
Okay.
All right, well, thanks for listening, and we will be back at you again, hopefully more regularly, like, say, maybe next week.
See ya! Da, da, da. Da, da, da.